Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Dhena Tasmai Shri Gurave.
I offer my respectful obeisances to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and to all of you here today who are doing this counseling work. You're all Vaishnavas and your counselors, and this is the most important work that can be done in the world today, because people need Vaishnav counseling. It's the real counseling. It's telling people how to live in accordance with the previous acharya's teachings. And at the same time, you have to deal with so many of their personal problems. Correct me if I'm wrong. Personal problems? Say yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is usually like 80-90%. It's that. And it takes mature devotees to do this. All of you are mature to be able to take this responsibility for other people, to help encourage them, guide them, and help them in their service. You can go around and collect those yellow cards from everybody. Arvind Akshay Prabhu, I appreciate it. That way they don't have to deal with it. So. And when we come to the point of having discussion, do we have a separate mic for the devotees to use? Because I like to have a lot of interaction. Okay, good. We have an extra mic. Yeah, yesterday we had a really absorbing experience. We went out to various places around Pune with about 65 devotees, if I'm not incorrect. And it was well organized, just like everything else here in Pune. And when we come back from the book distribution, well, first of all, let me say, going out on the monthly Sankirtan festival, we emphasize that the reason we're going out is for self-purification. It's not for getting some score. Those things happen incidentally. We only look at those things because they're something that can be counted and something we can measure. But the real reason that we emphasize devotees go out to meet people and teach them Krishna consciousness, meet complete strangers and just introduce yourself, to learn how to do that, or to even have the courage to walk out the door and try it. Is a self-purificatory process. And therefore, when we talk about book distribution, especially for the congregation, what we're talking about is high sadhana. Our mantra is that book distribution is high sadhana. So when devotees go out together, at first it seems a little bit scary to walk out the door. There's always a sense that maybe I'll just go do something else. There's so many things that you can do, important things. So why don't I just say, I got a meeting to go to, I got an important phone call, my mom needs me, she needs me to bake a cake, whatever it is. I'll do that instead. I mean, you can come up with a lot of different reasons. But if you just, at least once a month, the devotees have a chance to feel that stimulation of going out into the unknown and standing up on their own two feet and delivering what they've learned from Krishna consciousness. The kind of self-purification that takes place in that context is unparalleled. And it's fully available. Not only that, it's fully authorized. Prabhupada did this work before he came to America. He went by himself all over India, all the way to the north of India, up into Kashmir. He even went to a Muslim institution and sold a set of his books there. And up and down, selling books. And when he got to New York by himself, he was selling books, going out. Store to store, he sold sets of his books there. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, to build the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he personally went out and went door to door. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told his ashram bashis that they should go out and at least knock on three doors every day, because he said it would be good for the ashram devotees to go out. It's purifying for them to do that. So we emphasize that for the MSF, self-purification. So before I say anything else about the idea of book distribution, I'd just like to hear your feedback about this concept, about going out for self-purification. Just any thoughts you have about it, or any reflection you have about what I've said so far, feel free. Where's the microphone? There you go. Got a hot mic for you.
So when I was in school, I used to go to Gaudiya Math, Bhakti Siddhanta Sati Thakur's Gaudiya Math, in IIT Kharagpur. I was in IIT Kharagpur. I was studying there, my mother was a professor, so I used to go to that, in mechanical engineering, so I used to go to that Gaudiya Math, Bhakti Siddhanta Sati Thakur. So I was just 10 or 12 years old. So when I used to go there regularly every time, and I used to go right inside the altar. There was no one over there in the morning, so I used to go right inside. So I am very much interested in studying, you know. Then I joined the college, I continued going there, and then I grew up. So once one brahmachari came and told, you don't come and sit inside, you from outside you take darshan. So I stopped going inside. So at that time, when I was going there for many years, I finished my post graduation, I did PhD for 2 years in Berkeley, everything. I didn't get a single book in my hand, not feedback. So when I came to Pune after marriage, I asked my husband that where is this ISKCON temple? We had gone to Juhu for that. He told me here, here, next day. So I went there. And then we had gone to Juhu once and we bought the Bhagavad Gita from Juhu. So what I mean to say, at the age of almost 30, I was when I got the first book. So I realized if I had bought some book when I was in school or college, it would have been much better. Along with my this studies. So now I've decided that I'll distribute books as much as possible. So that the people didn't get books. They can wait.
Thank you very much. It was very nice. Yeah, self-purification. Anything, any other thoughts? Just reflections? I'm just thinking about you as counselors, and how your concern is that you want to help the counselees to become stable. Not only stable, like, I guess stable, it means nishta. They want them to become steady on their own. Is this possible through the process of devotional service to come through anartha nivritti, to come to nishta? And also we have other ways of measuring different levels of devotees coming up. And correct me if I'm wrong, but you'd like to see them become advanced, right? That's your purpose. Yes? Okay. So then, you know, we have other ways of talking about levels of advancement. Like there's Kanishta Adhikari. And then there is? Next? Madhyama Adhikari then? Uttama Adhikari. And within those, of course, there are many gradations as well. I mean, there's Kanishta Kanishtas, and there's Madhya Kanishtas, and there's Uttam Kanishta. And there's Madhyam Kanishta, or Kanishta Madhyam. Or Madhyam Kanishta, Madhyam Madhyam, and Uttam Madhyam. And there's Kanishta Uttam, and Madhyam Uttam, and Uttam Uttam. So many categories in between. But the main point, the Shastra talks about different levels of devotees' advancement, right? So, in the Sri Upanishad, Prabhupada mentions that Kanishta Adhikaris spend a lot of time arguing amongst themselves about who's doing better, whose camp is better than whose others' camps, and so forth. And Madhyama Adhikaris, on the other hand, spend a lot of time talking and think about how to spread Krishna consciousness. There's a difference in quality between the Kanishtha and the Madhya. Kanishthas are mostly interested in coming to the temple and seeing Krishna there, but they don't know how to do good for others. This is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Acharyam eva hareye pujam yash hareye hade natad pakteshu chanyeshu sabhakta prakrita smitaha. The Kanishtha Adhikari knows how to worship Krishna in the temple, but doesn't know what devotees are, doesn't know how to treat devotees, and also doesn't know how to give mercy to the living entities. Doesn't even feel it, that it's important to give mercy to living entities. And then the Madhyama Adhikari, on the other hand, knows how to do good for others. And that's the preoccupation of the Madhyama Adhikari. Ishvare taradineshu balisheshu dvisatsucha prema maitri kripopeksha yakroti samadhyamaha. Madhyama Adhikari sees Krishna, sees the devotees, sees the envious, and also sees the innocent. And towards the innocent, the Madhyama Adhikari is pouring out as much mercy as possible. And the envious, he or she avoids. And Krishna gives love, and the devotees makes friendship. So what we've noticed is, when devotees who are Kanishtha Adhikaris have an opportunity to go out to give mercy to others in a very safe, protected environment. They go out together to distribute books, prasadam, and the holy names together. Then very quickly, they become advanced to the Madhyama Adhikari platform. This is Lord Chaitanya's mercy, that by doing Sankirtan, by going out, this self-purification includes starting to develop a vision for giving mercy to others, pouring in as much as possible. And we see it all the time. We also see that when devotees go out to distribute books, they come across adversity. People question them. Yesterday, when we had a meeting after our Sankirtan outing, several of the devotees talked about people they met who questioned why they were doing it. Like a Christian was asking, one of our devotees was saying that, Krishna's just licentious. He cohorts with the gopis and things like that. What kind of God do you have? This is a challenge. This is good. Because when new people go out and they meet challenges, what happens is when they come back, they're hungry. They want to know things. They have questions that are important. And it's always good to be in a hungry state. So by going out and meeting challenges, meeting people who don't agree with you, who say, like, how do you know Krishna's God? Then they have to actually come back and learn that, how to answer that question. They have to answer it for themselves also. Therefore, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, the chid sharira, which means the spiritual body, needs chid rakta, which means spiritual blood. And he said, you get spiritual blood by going out and teaching Krishna consciousness to others and being ignored and neglected and having people challenge you. So this is good, because that's how you develop your spiritual blood. So we've seen many places in the world where Kanishtha Adhikaris, those who are just getting started in Krishna consciousness, go out with the Sankirtan party, and then they get a taste for giving mercy to others. I saw it many years ago. We had a little storefront when we were just getting our temple going. And this new person had come, and he was a Kanishtha Adhikari. He only saw Krishna. He didn't know about doing Sankirtan, doing good for others. But he came out a couple times with the devotees on the MSF. When I say MSF, you know what I'm talking about, right? What am I talking about? Monthly? Everyone say it. Monthly Sankirtan Festival means MSF. MSF. So then I saw, we were sitting in the storefront, and we're having a little class, and this couple walked by and were looking inside the temple to figure out what we were doing in there, because we were just in a strip mall. And they looked in, they read the thing on the door that said the hours, and then they walked off. And I saw this new person, because he had now been oriented towards Sankirtan, he jumped up out of the class, grabbed a book, and ran after them to give them something. He wanted to give them some mercy. He had picked up this mood. And I saw that, and I thought, yes, just see. It catches, it's infectious, this mood of giving mercy to others. And this is a symptom of somebody who's come to the Madhyama Adhikari platform. And then what happens is, these Madhyamas, they start to think about how to do it more, how to be more efficient in spreading Krishna consciousness to others. So when you bring your counselees to the point of incorporating Sankirtan, especially book distribution is a very direct way people get to meet people, then they become advanced very quickly. They become Madhyama Adhikaris. So I'll give you a little choice. So on one hand, you have counselees who are Kanishtas. And Kanishtas, as I mentioned, spend a lot of their time arguing and they have a lot of problems. So on this side you have Kanishtas. On this side you have Madhyams. They get accustomed to going out on Sankirtan and they start thinking about ways in which to spread Krishna consciousness and do good for others. So my question to you is, which would you rather have? A, Kanishta Adhikaris who like to argue amongst themselves, or B, devotees who sit around thinking about how to spread Krishna consciousness? Let's take a vote. How many would like to have a lot of counselees who are in the A category, Kanishta? Nobody? How about B? You like the Madhyama Adhikari? Say yes. Like Madhyama Adhikaris. So, do you believe what I'm saying about this Sankirtan helping devotees come up to the Madhyama platform? Would somebody like to challenge me about that? Or do you have any question? Tell me what you think about what I just said. Reflect back. Where's the microphone? Okay. We have a black microphone today. Who would like to make a reflection? Yes? Was that a hand raised? Go ahead. Reflection just means anything you heard so far that's stuck in your mind. If you walk out the door, like right now, and somebody grabs you by the arm and says, what was that guy talking about in there? What are you going to tell him? Reflect that back to me. Yes, Prabhu's over there. 1, 2. Yes.
My understanding of Madhyama was that the Madhyama goes out to arrange, not an unknown field, to arrange India where satsang is arranged by assistants, he uses a wonderful class, and the audience responds to him, and then he preaches. But the way you said just now, that he goes to the unknown, meets unknown people, and connects them to Krishna. This is the first time now I'm realizing the definition of Madhyama. So connecting with Krishna, with unknown people, not with some, say, well-wishers or known, some friends and relatives. That's what we try to do. We see our comfort. We try to preach to those whom we know. We don't try to preach to unknown people. And that's where you said,
unknown. Yeah. Thank you.
And the second understanding was that we distribute books, especially in December, for getting numbers. What is called? My book score is 100. And we only distribute the whole people. Oh, that's what we get. Big books, not small books. And that's what we do. But when, since last year,
thank you for that observation. I, you know, I think there are several definitions for Kanishta, Madhyam, and Uttam. And I don't mean to suggest this is the only, you know, designation, but it's definitely a sign of a strong Madhyam, that who has the wherewithal to go out and meet unknown people. And there's certainly nothing wrong with teaching amongst those who are already devotees. In fact, Krishna says in the Gita that there's no one more dear to me than somebody who teaches the Bhagavad Gita to the devotees. But I really like your observation, because it emphasizes what I'm trying to point out, and that is, in the challenge of going out into the world, you see how Krishna's energies are working. You take a risk. And you also, when you meet unknown people who aren't acquainted with Krishna consciousness, you have to develop some skill set that you don't get when you just stay within your own group. Because your own group doesn't necessarily challenge you. They do, I mean, but not in the same way. And there's we were talking yesterday on the way back from Sankirtan about how some of the devotees who were traveling in Sankirtan vans were, I was mentioning how Narada Muni, when he was a little child, went out and he wandered in different places, and Prabhupada mentions how it's important for devotees to go out and see how the Lord's energies are working. I also mentioned how even children can do this. In fact, at ISV, we have about 100 children who go out for MSF. They go out and distribute books, of course, with very careful parental guidance. And one of our teachers who take care of the children on MSF was telling us about how the kids, when they go out, the first time she had this experience, they were going door to door, and they got refused. And the kids were a little bit disturbed. So she sat down with them in a park, and they discussed it, what it means to face rejection. And from a very early age, they're learning about different cultures, what it means to face rejection, how do you process it. And it makes them very strong. In my book, I write about how kids might grow up and get an MBA, which is very noble, and could be very useful in the world. But there are a lot of people that go out and get advanced degrees, but they don't have the emotional intelligence, as it's called, and what I like to call street smarts. They don't know all the ways in which to communicate with various kinds of people, how to face rejection, how to convince people of things that one gets when one does a book distribution. You get a thorough education, and you also get a kind of knowledge of people in general and a confidence of dealing with them that you don't get anywhere else. So it's an educational process going out. And I think that when we look at it holistically as a means to actually become advanced in Krishna consciousness, that's why we're going out. And that's why we're advocating that the children go out, the counselees go out, the kanishtas go out, everybody goes out together at least once a month. Just even for a small amount of time, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, at least an hour. Of course, it's hard for people to do that because when they go out, they don't want to come back. And recently, I attended the GBC meeting in Chicago. And I've been thinking about this for a while, that I wanted all the GBCs to go out together for book distribution as part of our agenda for our meeting. So I put it on the agenda to see if anybody would object. And nobody objected. Of course, two people spoke up on the email conference and they said, great, let's go. Nobody else said anything, so I wasn't sure if when I got there they'd all go, oh, I got a headache, I got to go somewhere else, I got an important call. But every one of them very enthusiastically went out. On the day we put it on the schedule, they said, let's go. And we were supposed to go out for just an hour, but they all stayed out longer. They didn't want to come back. There's a kind of exhilaration you get when you cross the threshold and you actually make it out the door, because that's the hardest part, getting out the door, going across that threshold from the inside of your house to the, you step outside. That's the point when most people wither and they say, oh, I don't want to go. But if you have, if you institutionalize it and you say, this is what we do, this is our mission, we're the Sankirtan movement, when new people come and you tell them this is what who we are, this is what we do, they just accept it. It's not an issue for them. They go along with the flow, and it becomes inculcated in their process of devotionals, in their practice of devotional service. And this is very good, because when people have a sense of mission, they become motivated in ways that they don't get if they're only thinking about how they're following the regular process. It can become niyamagraha very easily. But when you add in the missionary spirit, that you're going out to save others, like on these wristbands, every year we have a theme and we give these wristbands to all the devotees. This year it says, Jive Doi Krishna Nam Sarva Dharma Sar, which means, by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that the highest religion is to show compassion for living entities. That's it. And how do you do it? By spreading the holy name. So if you teach people that early on and say, this is part of our process, going out, missionary work, then they become enlivened. This becomes part of their psyche. And we've seen all over the world, at least I've seen, I can say for certain, since I joined Krishna Consciousness Movement in 1973, and I've seen different phases. I was there in 1973, throughout the time Prabhupada was there, until 1977, and I saw how he inculcated the missionary spirit wherever he went. And I saw the result of it. There was kind of an exhilaration everywhere within the movement. And I've also seen periods where there was a kind of reticence to go out on the mission. And in there, you don't find the same you don't find the same spirit. So it's very effective, this idea of allowing people, facilitating them as leaders, facilitating new people, leading them, showing by your example that, yeah, let's go out. Whatever comes, I'm scared too, whatever, let's go out together and take the risk and see what happens. It's like breathing. When you breathe, you exhale, what do you exhale?
Carbon dioxide.
And when you inhale, you bring in oxygen. So I would propose that the oxygen that we get in our organization is that experience that you can't get anywhere else, that rarefied experience of going out to the unknown. I like the way you put it, into the unknown. And there, depending on Lord Chaitanya, and seeing what happens, how he reciprocates. There's yesterday, case in point, after our expedition out into the unknown, we all came back, we had prasadam together, and then we just passed around the mic and discussed what happened. And the stories you hear are amazing, from one person to the next. Some people, first time they've ever gone out. Some people, they've been out for many years. But everyone has a story. That's the oxygen. It has to come back in. That you saw it for yourself. You experienced it for yourself. The working of the internal energy. And how that stimulated your faith in Lord Chaitanya. This is the oxygen. So every organism has to breathe. It has to take out with it the anxieties of being inside and then bringing back in this experience. This is the oxygen that helps the organism to actually exist and grow in a healthy way. What else? There was another reflection. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Yeah. My point was regarding you said that one side Kanishpadikari and Madhyamadikari. So maybe yourself may not be like that, but then it seems that many times the people or upcoming devotees who are joining for say 6 months, 1 year, and they have tested a little bit about the Krishna gives them some days, and they are more interested for going out, for book distribution, fundraising, or whatever activities. I mean, you see more of that thing, so I don't know what type of devotee case you call them or the construct at all. But then that emphasis, as you mentioned in your talk also, that go like that. So that emphasis is more in this type of devotee, money and prayers like that.
So you, it was an observation, right, that you're making? Observation? Yeah.
They're more emphasis.
Yes. So I've seen that even very new people, if you teach them Sankirtan from the very beginning, it gives them an edge. It gives them an advantage if that's what they learn from the very beginning. And it gives them a special strength in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said, if you just try to do this, he wrote a letter to a household couple. They said, if you try to do this, you'll get superior strength and knowledge in Krishna consciousness just by trying to do it. Yeah. I have a few more points. Should I keep going? You sure? Okay. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. So, what's the counterpart to going out? It's intensive hearing and chanting. When I say intensive, I like to say that the hearing and chanting, the sadhana, should be goal-oriented. This makes it intense. How can I justify that? Sankhya purvaka nama ganana tibi kalavasani krito. Srinivasacharya writes about how the six Goswamis of Vrindavan were goal-oriented in their sadhana practice. That may be redundant, sadhana practice. In their sadhana, they counted how much they did on a regular basis. So one thing that we've seen is when you have a specific goal for hearing and chanting, then it helps to motivate and keep steady the process of hearing and chanting. So to that end, a while back, many of you know, we created a system called Be a Sage Page by Page. Do we have that? So I have a little card. Have you seen this card, Be a Sage, page by page? Oh good, I'm so happy you haven't seen it. Some of you haven't. He'll pass these around. And on this little card, you'll see that there's a grid. And on the grid, pass them out fast. Just give half of them here and pass them over here. You'll see that Mataji's need over here on the side. It lists all of Srila Prabhupada's books on one side of the grid. And on the chart itself, it calculates how many pages you have to read each day in order to complete each one of Prabhupada's books. So look on the chart and tell me how many pages a day you have to read in order to finish the Bhagavad Gita in 1 year. Yes, Prabhu? 2.5 pages a day to finish the Bhagavad Gita in 1 year. On this side of the room, tell me from the grid how many pages a day you'd have to read of the Srimad Bhagavatam to finish the whole Bhagavatam, all 12 cantos, in 5 years. How many? 18? That just eight? Only eight? That's unbelievable. That's all you have to do? 8 pages a day? And you finish the whole Bhagavatam in 5 years. See, the thing is, you'll be 5 years older in 5 years anyway. But if you read the whole Bhagavatam in 5 years, you'll be a sage, for sure. What to speak, you could also throw in 2.5 pages a day of the Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada writes in the Antyalila of the Chaitanya Charitamrita that all the devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement have to read all of the books. Otherwise, they'll fall back into eating, sleeping, and they'll fall down from the process of devotional service. So I came up with this system for myself because every time I look at the big shelf full of Prabhupada's books, and I think, well, how am I ever going to finish all these? And then I heard a lecture by Brian Tracy, and he said, whenever you have a big task ahead of you, the trick is to divide it into small slices and then just do a slice a day. And so I said, I'm going to do that with Prabhupada's books. So with the help of Srivas Pandit Prabhu, we came up, we counted all the pages. And now, this is a little archaic, this card, but it's just to give you an idea. Now we have an app. You can go to the app store, either for iPhone or for, what's that other thing called? Whatever it is. Android. Okay, yeah, Android. The Android, and for both of those platforms, you can go on our app. It's a free app on the App Store. It's called Be a Sage. And you'll see a little picture of a yogi sitting there next to a big book. And from there, you can go on the app, and you can choose any of Prabhupada's books, and you can find out how many pages a day you have to read in order to finish each within a particular period of time. And it'll remind you every day to read your pages. Prabhu, you had a point? Okay. So this is something that is very helpful in the holistic system of doing sankirtan and then coming back and hearing and chanting, having a schedule that you know. For instance, according to this system and according to my way of implementing it, you should be able to tell us when you're going to finish reading each one of Prabhupada's books. For instance, if I wake you up at 1:30 in the morning today and I ask you, when are you going to finish the Bhagavatam? You would say an exact date. You'd know, according to this system, I'm going to finish on April 15th, 2020, I'll be done. Because I'm reading 8 pages a day and I know exactly when I'm going to finish. There's a kind of energy that you get from this when you know when the finish line is. If you don't know when the finish line is, you can think about reading Prabhupada's books for many years. And your counselees can think about it also and dabble. They can dabble in reading. But if you want them to intensely read and be serious, Sankhya Purvakanama Gana Natibi. Sankhya means to count. The Goswamis of Vrindavan counted how many times they bowed down, how many rounds they chanted, how many shlokas they chanted, things like that. So this is just a little tool for you, for your counseling system, if in case it's appealing to you, that you could use. The other system we have, many are you acquainted with, it's an organization that anybody can join. It's an underground organization, but it's called CHAD, C-H-A-D. Everyone say CHAD. It stands for chapter a day. So this means that you chant at least one chapter of Bhagavad Gita every day without fail. You can do just the Sanskrit, Arjuna Vacha, Kim Tad Brahma Kim Adhyatma, Kim Karma Purushottama, Adi Bhutam Chikim Proktam, Adi Daivam Kim Muchite, etc. And go through just the Sanskrit like that. Take you how long? Who are CHAD members in here? Raise your hand. Okay, 1, 2, 3. How long? 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. How long does it take you to chant, say, chapter 8 of the Bhagavad Gita? Just the Sanskrit. 7 minutes, about 7 minutes. That's not too much to ask, right? So if you do the English, Sanskrit and English, maybe 14 minutes. It's not a big deal. But it's also another way of supplementing the diet, your own spiritual diet and the diet of your counselees, this recommendation to do one chapter of Bhagavad Gita a day without fail. It's nice if they do it with their families. And there's so many benefits from chanting one chapter of Bhagavad Gita a day. It keeps your intelligence strong. And you think according to Krishna's directions, because the directions are right there, because you're hearing them every day going through. And it will save everyone at the time of death also. Just by chanting one chapter of Bhagavad Gita every day, you'll remember Krishna's words at the time when you're leaving your body, and you'll go back home, back to Godhead. So that's a nice benefit too, don't you think? Wouldn't you agree? Yes. Say yes. Yes. Yes, thank you very much. So you have Be a Sage page by page. You have CHAD. So these are tools that you can use in your own sadhana and your hearing and chanting. We found them to be very effective all over the world. So now, I would like to ask any of you here, who likes rice? Raise your hand if you don't like rice, if you hate rice. Anybody from South India? Anyone in South India, everyone just eats rice all day. Tamarind rice, lemon rice. I mean, it goes on forever. There's like 50 kinds of rices. I mean, I like it too, but... Rice, good? Say yes. How about Dahl? You like Dahl?
Yes.
Say yes.
Yes.
Dahl's good, right? Okay, so there's rice, which is a staple for people all over the world. People eat rice in countries everywhere. And there's Dahl, which is a fantastic food, don't you think? But when you mix rice and Dahl together, did you know that you get 42% more nutrition than if you just eat rice or you just eat Dahl? This is in Shastra. It's in Jamuna's cookbook. You know Jamuna's cookbook?
Yes.
Yeah, India's cuisine or whatever it's called, Krishna's cuisine. It's in the section on rice. It's a study that's been done. There's synergy between rice and Dahl. 42% more nutrition when you mix the two together. How is this relevant to my topic today? Besides making me hungry. When you have this MSF, devotees going out into the unknown, and then coming back and hearing and chanting, there's benefit in both. You can stay home for the next 20 years and hear and chant. Very good. You can go out every day for the next 20 years. Very good. But if you put the two together, and you hear and chant intensely, and you go out, you get 42% more sadhana benefit. What you get, if you just hear and chant, is good sadhana. What you get is if you just go out and do book distribution, is good sadhana. But when you mix the two together, just like rice and Dahl, you get super sadhana. And this is the great formula that Prabhupada gave us. He encouraged everybody to go out into the great unknown. I'm using your thing from now on. I like the way you talk. You mix the two together, and what you get is a super sadhana. This, wherever you find a community that has devotees who understand the sense of mission that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inculcated in all of his devotees to go out. Who went out? Haridas Thakur. Did he have some strong sadhana? Please say yes.
Yes.
Advaita Acharya. Who's Advaita Acharya? He's Mahavishnu. Did he go out door to door? Yes, he did. On whose request? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And did they hear and chant? Absolutely. Advaita Acharya gave Bhagavad Gita class every day. That was his thing. Open class for everybody. So these two things go together. This forms the nutritious sadhana of the Sankirtan movement. Two together, both things. And it's amazing how little of the book distribution you need to actually get that synergy. Because if you just do once a month, MSF, that's the means, once a month, that's all. It doesn't mean you can't do more. But if you just add that one drop of book distribution one day out of the month, where you create an atmosphere in which people want to come in. It's a safe atmosphere. It's a fun atmosphere. It's a teamwork atmosphere. There's no competition. There's no expectation of performing. You're only going out for self-purification. And when you create that for your counselees, and they go out into that, and then they come back into this intensive hearing and chanting atmosphere, they get super sadhana, and they rise very quickly to the Madhyama platform. And they'll just keep on going until they hit Uttama Adhikari. Because this is the way that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us to advance in devotional service. Intensive hearing and chanting, and showing mercy to all living entities by going out into the great unknown and distributing transcendental literature and the holy names. Okay? Say yes.
Yes.
Thank you. So now I'll take a couple more reflections. So I want to hear from you if you're buying all this. You're buying what I'm saying? Yes.
When you talk about chit was going to chit.
Chidrakta, chit sharira?
From achit sharira, we have chit sharira. So that requires chit drakta.
Yes.
From bhaktisiddhanta sarasvata. So can you little elaborate on that?
Well, you know, when you face adversity, and that's what he was talking about, you go out and you meet people who challenge you, then you come back in a hungry state. And when you're, this is a good state to be in. You have to be hungry. In Ayurveda, it teaches that you have to have a strong appetite in order to be healthy. That's what runs everything. And similarly, in Krishna consciousness, we have to have a strong appetite. Where do you get that? You get that by being challenged by others. Someone asks you a question you can't answer. And then you think, how am I going to answer that question? So I always say that a good hearing and chanting session is one that you come out of with more questions than answers. Because then you're really surveying the material and you go like, how does that work? I have to find out. I'll have to hear and chant more and find out more. I'll have to inquire more from advanced devotees to find this out. And a similar thing happens when you go out into the world and people throw questions at you. Or you want to know how to be more effective at presenting Krishna consciousness to people. Because you see that some are more effective than you are, and you think, how do I become like that? So then you become more intense in your practice, because you think, how can I get on that cutting edge? The one thing you don't want to do in devotional service or any other discipline is become lazy. Because we only get a finite amount of time in the human form of life. And you want to be able to hit the finish line really strong and not just coast through and then have to take another birth. You want to go really strong in this lifetime. So this kind of engagement that I'm talking about, the MSF type engagement, it develops that kind of hunger. That's the kind of infusion of spiritual blood that you get. It means hunger. It means wanting more. What else? More comments. Let them flow out. Open up your hearts and minds and tell me some more stuff. Yes. Whenever you can. But it's nice to get on a regular program so you don't miss it. Because once you're in Chad and you start putting together a string of successes, what will happen to you is one night you're going to be falling asleep thinking it's so nice to be lying here in bed. And all of a sudden, Super Soul will put in your mind, you forgot to chant your chapter. And you'll be sitting there and lying there in your bed and you'll think, what should I do? Go into ignorance or jump up and chant my chapter? And then you'll do the right thing and you'll say, all right, I'm getting up because I don't want to break the string. I've done it 8 days in a row and I don't want to break it. So you'll jump up, wash your hands, and then you'll read your chapter of Gita. And then the next day you'll think, I don't want to do that again. So I'm going to do it early in the day. As soon as I finish my japa, I'm going to do it. In fact, what I do is I make photocopy of the chapter I'm doing, so I carry it in my bag. I always have it with me. If I got caught at, you know, in a line somewhere. Do you ever get caught in lines? Say yes. You're in India. Come on, say yes. Yeah, you get caught in a line. What do? Everyone else is in anxiety thinking like, why doesn't this line hurry up? Which is really stupid because you can't make the line go faster just by being in anxiety. But what you can do if you're a member of CHAD is just pull out your chapter and say, take your time. Make the line go longer so I can finish my chapter. And you finish the chapter while you're in line. Or if you get in a car and you're driving from one place to the next and everybody else wants to chat. Chatting means, I got nothing better to do. I'm just going to talk about anything. But if you pull out your chapter and say, fine, we can chant and talk about anything, but right after I finish my chapter, do you mind? Would you like to hear it? And they'll all say, yeah, all right, go ahead. And then you start chanting, and everyone starts feeling ecstasy. Like, why didn't I think of this before? You know, this is another thing we started doing at the GBC meeting. I said, why don't we, after each day, we'll chant a chapter of Bhagavad Gita together. And so we started at the end of the day, we chanted chapter of Bhagavad Gita, everyone's in ecstasy. Because just one chapter of Bhagavad Gita puts you in ecstasy. That's all it takes. But the mind will tell you, nah, let's not do it today. It's not a good idea. Let's chat instead. Let's think of some nonsense instead. Let's just be lazy. But if you have discipline and you keep doing it, then you'll find your niche. And you'll keep it going no matter what happens. I saw some brahmacharis the other day. They were at ISV. They were coming in visiting. We finished a program, and it was time for prasadam. But they pulled out their Gitas, and they sat down together, and they chanted their chapter 7 minutes before they went to take prasadam. And I thought, they've got a taste. They've got that thing going where they don't want to break the string. So that's where you want to be with the chat. You get into that, and you'll see the power of the Bhagavad Gita, just one chapter a day. It puts you in a different category. It moves you up to a higher category. And if you teach that to your counselees, it solves a lot of their problems before they bring them to you. We want to have, you know, people who know how to solve their own problems before they come lay them at your door. Because Kanishtha Adhikaris have more problems than Madhyams. The kind of problems that Madhyams have are nice problems. They're like, how to spread Krishna consciousness more? How can I get more time to do service? Kanishas are thinking about, why did she say that to him and he said that to me, and why is he looking at me like that? So, yes, Bhagavad Gita, one chapter a day. What else? Yes, Prabhu. Yeah, you could do, there's no minimum and there's no maximum. So there is a minimum. The minimum is at least the Sanskrit or at least the English, or you can do the Sanskrit and the English. And some people say, what about the purports? Yeah, do the purports too. But the fact is, if you're contacting the Gita every day, your mind will be in it. You'll start to get interested in reading the purports on a regular basis. And I know from surveys of leaders in ISKCON, we did at the ILS, that a lot of leaders aren't taking time to read Bhagavad Gita. In fact, a lot of people all over India aren't reading it. They just say, I know Bhagavad Gita. And if you ask them what it means, they'll just say, do your work. It's like, that's not the message of Bhagavad Gita. You're not really reading it. So we shouldn't be like that. We should be experts in Bhagavad Gita. We should know Bhagavad Gita backwards and forwards. I mean, if you can learn Java, or you can learn C++, what else is there out there? PhD, doctor, all these kinds of things. What else? Okay, whatever it is. If you can learn that, you can memorize 700 verses of the Bhagavad Gita. No problem for you. You're born in Bharat. You're born with these capabilities to know these stuff. It's in your ancestry. Only most of Bharat has transferred that capability to C++, Java. They know it backwards and forwards. You're the best in the world at all these things. That's because you come from the stock where people would sit down and memorize a whole Veda. There's one Veda, there's people who memorize two Vedas, three Vedas, there's the Trivedis down the street, right? They come from, of course, now they know JavaScript, but back then they used to know three Vedas. So you can do that. You can learn the whole Bhagavad Gita. What's the problem? At least if you die trying, it's a good idea. That's where you want to be, on the edge. You want to be on the edge, pushing for the next thing. Don't get complacent, and don't let your counselees get complacent. Feel like you got to push for something. You got to be on the edge. And Sankirtan, going out into the unknown, puts you on the edge. That's at Chidrakta. How are we doing for time, Sri Ram Prabhu? Sri Ram? How are we doing for time? How are you all doing anyway? You're happy? Satisfied? You're okay? Okay. A couple more. Yes. Prabhuji, tell me. What's on your mind?
Is it the same?
Okay, give him the mic.
Is it the same hearing a chapter of Bhagavad Gita or reading this more important?
It's all good. It's all good. And if you can hear the chapter Bhagavad Gita, it'll be very powerful also. Main principle: always remember Krishna. How do you spell that? What's the acronym? A-R-K. Say A-R-K.
A-R-K.
Now what does that spell? No, that's what it... But what's the word A-R-K spell? Ark. Say Ark. Say Ark three times. It sounds like an animal. But it's a very powerful principle. Always remember Krishna. And the other principle is never forget Krishna. And you can tell people Ark. Just Ark. Always remember Krishna. But here's the principle how to remember Krishna. Keep the transcendental vibration going. That's the main way to remember Krishna. So you have to organize your life and the life of your counselees so they're always keep the vibration going. And when you do the combination of the MSF plus the hearing and chanting, that's where the super sadhana comes in, because they complement each other. You get the two things. Because if you're thinking, I'm going to go on Sankirtan one day this month, it's a point in time that your mind is going to be building towards, and you're going to think, I'm going to stay on a high spiritual level so I have the power to go beyond the threshold of my house. When there's a perfectly good paratha waiting for me back in the kitchen, I'm still going to walk away from that paratha and go on Sankirtan. You have the power of forced efficiency when you set a time every month and you say, this month we're going out on this day, all month long. Just like NASA when they're building a rocket. When the rocket launches, although that gets a lot of press, that's not where the big benefits are. The big benefits of NASA are that while they're building the rocket, they're developing new systems. In fact, the modern system of management that is taught at all the universities comes from NASA. They were under such pressure to build rockets, they had to come up with efficiencies in order to develop it, and they came up with a whole management system. And that's what you get also, the benefit you get from having a point in time when your counselees can go out once a month. It's forced efficiency. They have it in their mind. There's some pressure that builds. So Prabhupada said, in management, what you want to do is always have a fresh challenge so that people want to rise up and meet it. And Sankirtan is the perfect fresh challenge because it's always new. It's never old. You always feel that intense pressure, even if you're going out for 1 hour or 2 hours. You're always trying to stay on a higher platform. You were going to say more. Who has the mic? Please.
There's one thought that we normally be feeling. If you chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra, you get purification advancement. So as you grow older, instead of going out for Sankirtan or reading Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, which one feels ever at once, so I would prefer to chant. So instead of chanting 16 rounds, the tendency is to chant 32 rounds, say 40 rounds, and one spends time chanting more rather than going out or reading. So how do you reconcile that?
Well, I can tell you for myself and the devotees that I go out with on Sankirtan, that for instance, when we go door to door, when you knock on someone's door, what's going to happen when you knock on the door? The answer is you have no idea. Anything can happen. Anybody can open that door. Anything can be behind that door. So what do you do when you knock on the door? You start going, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. That's good chanting. Krishna likes that kind of chanting because you're there to serve him in the best possible way. And when you're chanting like that, you're like crying out to Krishna. That benefits your japa. This is my point. The two things benefit each other. What we do when we go out on book distribution, we sell the book. Actually, we don't even sell it. We just ask them to reciprocate in any way that they can. And if they sincerely reciprocate, and one of the ways they do that is giving money, because it's a token that everyone accepts. So one way they reciprocate, they give money, so they do that. They got the book now. Next, we teach them the Maha Mantra. Anyone was out yesterday? We were out together, right? Did we teach every single person the Maha Mantra that we met? So we say, okay, now listen. I'm going to teach you a prayer, wake up pure love for God in your heart. That's what we say in the West. Here we say, we're going to chant for your auspiciousness, you know, for your business, for your family. We're going to chant one Maha Mantra. We'll say you repeat, right? So in the West, all the time we're teaching the Maha Mantra. We say, okay, it's a prayer. We're going to chant it now. You ready? And some people, they say, what's in it? What is it? Then you have to think, yeah, what's in this? And most people chant it, and then you feel, you watch them chanting for the first time, and you're thinking, I want to feel like that too. I want to chant for the first time every time I chant the mantra. You start to get that vicariously, stimulated by meeting new people. And then the other thing that happens, and this is where that chidrakta comes in. Say you give somebody the mantra and you say, okay, this is a beautiful mantra, names of God, it's going to wake up pure love for God in your heart. I'm going to say, you repeat, are you ready? And the person's about ready to chant, and then the spouse, you know, let's say the wife's there and she goes, don't do it. Dilip, don't chant it. And it's like, why? Just, you don't know what's going to happen. You chant that mantra. We have this happen sometimes. People say, "Don't! I'm not going to chant this. Why not? It's some kind of mystical incantation. It's going to take me away." And that they got it right. That's a fact. We don't know what's in this mantra. It's so powerful. So the next day when you sit down to chant your 16, 32, 64, whatever how many rounds you can chant, according to your appetite, what happens is you start getting Lord Nityananda's mercy coming through your mind because you went out and taught new people how to chant, which is Lord Nityananda's work. What happens is he comes into your mind when you're chanting because chanting is an empowered activity. You can't force your way in. It comes by mercy. And if you get Lord Nityananda's mercy to chant by distributing the holy name to perfectly innocent people or even unwilling people, then you're able to really chant, to chant from the depths of your heart and call out for special mercy. So it's rice and dal. The two things go together. Prabhupada taught it like that. He didn't tell us to retire. He said a few times that if you can't do anything else, go to the Dham and retire. But he didn't retire, even when he went to the Dham. He kept that, he made sure that the dictaphone was 2 inches from his mouth, even when he was emaciated, he hadn't eaten for 2 months. And he was going on speaking because he knew that was going into print and the print was going out into the world. And if you deliver it, you're in the same process. You're intimately connected with Prabhupada by doing it like that, by going on. And that increases your capability, your taste for chanting. Hare Krishna. What else? Give some reflection from this side of the room. Pressure's on now. Someone new. Come on, Mataji, you got to deliver. What do you got? She's ready. Go for it.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
What I wanted to know is that in case of Mataji, for distributing books, the number of books distributed in MSF or when we go out, it is any kind of hindrance? I have not experienced
age.
Age. For Mataji.
For Mataji's? No, it's not based on any, there's no material designation. It's really based on your spiritual enthusiasm. Because I just watched, I mean, I watch and I see that anybody, kids, middle age, elderly, if there's enthusiasm, then people will respond to it. Yeah, it's just a matter of, it's spiritual. It's a spiritual process. There's no material designation. I've taught a lot of people how to distribute books or, you know, passed on the knowledge that I've received from others. And it's always surprised me how this principle works. Like early on, I was asked to, there was a new bhakta that joined the temple in San Francisco, and he was a stutterer. He couldn't, one sentence would take him like a minute to speak. Like, I want, and you're like, it's very, it's like different. So they said, train him up on book distribution. I'm thinking, how am I going to do that? So I took him out at Fisherman's Wharf, San Francisco, and I showed him how to distribute books. Everybody took a book because they didn't want to walk away and say, and he'd be there and he'd explain, all right, I'll take it. How much is it? You know? And also, this was just a few years ago. I was in the UK And the devotee said, there's a devotee, he's deaf and dumb, and he wants to learn how to distribute books. Very enthusiastic devotee. He's got deaf and dumb people all over UK now who are becoming devotees. He's written a whole book about spiritual sign language, Hare Krishna. And so they said, take him out, show him, he wants to go with you. I said, what am I going to do now? Everybody took a book. They meant, it's like, what's he trying to communicate? And he had an interpreter there for him. He's speaking in sign, and the other people said, yeah, I'll take it. Because they recognize he's got something, he's got some enthusiasm there. So young, old, deaf, dumb, stutterer, doesn't matter. You know, if you have some spirit, preaching is life. And if you want to do good for others and you just go out and try, then Lord Chaitanya will empower you because he's a great capitalist. He invests in people who take a risk. Just like in venture capital, if you've got a startup company and you want to take a risk, you go get a little capital from the venture capitalists, and then you got something to start your company. In devotional service, we want spiritual entrepreneurs. Take a risk. Do something unusual. Catch a Jaladutta. Get on go to the unknown. And for those people who take these kinds of risks, Lord Chaitanya's got the capital. He said, I'll invest in you. If you take the chance, I'll invest in you. I'll back you. That's why Prabhupada was so successful. Because he knew he was backed by Lord Chaitanya. That I'm just going. They said, you don't have any money. You're too old. You can't do it. You'll die. He said, I'm backed. I got the backing. I'm going. And because he took the risk, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu backed him up in the biggest way. He built the biggest organization in the world for spreading Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And anybody can do it because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu put the order out. And that's what puts the move in movement. Unless there's a mission going on, unless there's a point in time when we're saying I'm going to take a risk, unless there's some risk-taking and some nervousness going on about going out into the unknown, we don't really have a movement. We're not moving. We become stagnant.
Yeah.
No, I'm getting it now too. I'm getting old, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no, you can't categorize. Young people, old people, you'll find the gems everywhere. Everywhere you'll find. Just, you could say, Muslims won't take, but just the other day, I was in Southern California going door to door. I went to a Gujarati couple. Then I went downstairs. There were four young men from a Muslim country. They're all Muslims. They were sitting in their apartment smoking cigarettes and eating chicken. So they saw me at the door dressed like this, Bhagavad Gita, and they said, come on in. I sat down with them. I talked Bhagavad Gita. Every one of them bought a Bhagavad Gita for $20 each. And they were so happy. So you can't categorize, and that's another lesson of Bhagavad Gita. It doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter who they are, it's a spiritual activity. It transcends, you know.
So, the emphasis that you continue it, there is no listing about it.
Right? Yes. Right, exactly. No designation. Last point I want to make is that I just heard from the devotees doing MSF last night, from the devotees doing MSF, that while they're out meeting all these people, they're creating database. So recently they compiled 1,000 names, contacts. And out of those 1,000 people, they brought 200 people into the system here, into the Pune system, 200. So this is a very lucrative way to increase the ranks. When you're out meeting people face to face, it's like mining for gold. And the more you're mining, the more you're looking through, you're going to find the nuggets that come out. And they'll come into your system and they'll become the next leaders of the organization. So adding Sankirtan in as a regular program, this already, the reason I'm here in Pune is this is one of the best programs, as I said in class, in the entire world. You have what it takes to be come to the highest level of spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world because of this. And my proposition is, if you just add a little MSF on a large scale here, it will increase every part of the program in such a profound way that there'll be no question in anybody's mind that this is the top program in the entire world. And every one of the programs, from the cooking program to the deity program to the counseling program, everything will be enriched by just adding one tiny little drop called MSF and having one tiny point in time with not big goals or expectations, but just the idea that we'll all go out together, touch the pavement, and do a little something at least once a month. It's one drop that will change the whole equation in a significant way. Hare Krishna. So thank you very much for taking I know your time is in great demand. Because when you have counselees, there's people after you 24 hours a day needing your help, correct? Say yes.
Yes.
Yes. So the fact that you took 2 hours of your time to come here today to discuss this topic is very touching to me, and I'm eternally grateful for you for coming here and giving your rapt attention for this long. And I thank you very, very much. Gaur Premanande! Nitai Gaura Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Nitai Gaura Hari Bo, Nitai Gaura Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Nitai Gaura Hari Bo. Vanchakalpadurusha Kripasanabeva Chapatitanam Pavani Bhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Natakoti Vaishnavindaki Jai. Hare Krishna.
Chariyar Marman, Natariyar Marman, Natariyar Marman, Natariyar Marman. Hey! Natariyar Marman, Natariyar Marman, Natariyar Marman, Natariyar Marman.